Tua.
Fires. Touchdown, Miami. Waddle snuck into the end zone of Miami.
Boy, tight throw, tight window. They had to get that touchdown on that play to get it.
What is up, Dolphins, and welcome to the Drive Time Podcast, part of the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network, covering your team, your Miami Dolphins. I am Travis Wingfield. I'm going to be your host, bringing you your daily dose of Miami Dolphins football. And on today's show, it had been 63 days since the Miami Dolphins' last loss, and that run has now come to its conclusion. It's a convincing 34-3 defeat in Nashville. We're going to get to the five takeaways, check on some of the storylines I was interested in going into this game, and assess where we go from here. Hear from Brian Flores and Tua Tagovailoa from somewhere in South Florida. This is the Drive Time Podcast.
It's another Miami Dolphins.
So no postseason play for the Dolphins in 2021. In a game that Miami had to have to stay alive in the postseason chase, and it just didn't really go that well from the very start of the football game. Some key moments and opportunities to possibly get back in the game. We're going to cover all those moments, including some of the stuff offensively, defensively, some of the calls and the explanations of those calls in this game. But I want to go ahead and start this podcast with Brian Flores on the team not playing well enough to win, with as much riding on this game as there was on Sunday.
Every week we put our best foot forward to try to have a good performance. It was no different this week. I think our guys prepared the right way. I thought we had a good week of practice. Titans are a good team. They had a good plan. We didn't play well enough in any phase. That starts with me. We didn't coach it well enough either. So we'll go back and make the corrections and try to play better next week.
My own personal crafted storylines here and how it just really didn't come out in the Dolphins' favor in almost any facet. I mean, Ryan Tannehill versus some of the free rushers the Dolphins have been able to create over the course of the winning streak, just couldn't get those, couldn't really get him off his spot. There was one instance where I thought they did get him off his spot, and it was an incompletion, but that was really it throughout the course of the game. Was curious about A.J. Brown working on Xavier Howard or Byron Jones or double teams or zone. I think we saw a little bit of all of that in this game. He only caught 2 for 41, so Miami did a good job neutralizing the Titans' top offensive weapon in the absence of Derrick Henry and Julio Jones. But the Titans' offense just didn't really have to do a lot today with Miami's offensive performance, and Tua in the elements was a question or a storyline I was curious to see how it played out. 18 for 38, 205, 4 sacks, no touchdowns, gets the pick that gets kicked up into the air, which is unlucky, but there were some other plays in the game that went in his favor as well. He finishes with a 53.1 passer rating. Who can run the football in this contest? Well, the Titans answered that rather vehemently. The number 2 ranked defense against the run in Tennessee versus the number 7 ranked Dolphins run defense coming into this game. The Titans win that one handily as well. And then just how Miami would handle a game in elements, in cold weather, that required against a physical football team that had a good game plan, like Coach Flores mentioned there, against a tough physical team, and how the rushing kind of balance would go in this game and how that would create the tone of this game. I mean, I think we can all agree we know how that went in this one. Let's go ahead and go back to head coach Brian Flores here about how his team is feeling coming off this loss.
Look, anytime you, don't have the performance, that you're looking for, you're disappointed. But, this group, they're going to stick together, support one another, get back out there tomorrow, make the corrections tomorrow, and prepare for another big game next week.
Big game Brian Flores is talking about. Week 18, the last game of the Miami Dolphins 2021 season. The takeaways here. Number one, it starts with the quarterback position. I really just thought the last 3 games in different capacities that the performance of Tagovailoa had not been to the standard of what we had expected over the course of the previous portion of the season. In that middle part of the season, coming back off the finger injury, the thumb injury, since he replaced Jacoby Brissett in the Baltimore game, in some considerable strides throughout the course of his career. But now, off of that stretch, a 3-game stretch of kind of the same mistakes that became weekly, that he kicked out during that stretch, and cut those curious interceptions down. We see not just those, but more opportunities of those. Some weird short hop throws that don't quite get there. Some off-target throws. Some strange decisions with ball location and where to go, and it resulting in balls getting batted into the air and possibly intercepted. And OJ talked about this early on in the game, how it seems like in some of these games it takes them a while to get warmed up. Like the Jets game a couple weeks ago, first quarter was not very good. The Saints game got a very slow start in that game, playing poorly through the start and then having more of those mistakes trickle out throughout the course of the game. And the accuracy issues is the part that the rest of the stuff, okay, like we can work on that, we can get better at that, but at least at the end of the day we know that he is always going to be a high completion percentage, accurate quarterback who, when he has the right throw and has the right read, the ball is going to be where it needs to be. But that just wasn't the case in this game. High, low, wide, behind, all game long, he struggled with the accuracy. And that's going to be one of our takeaways later on about the uncharacteristic elements of this game. But man, how uncharacteristic was that of this quarterback? And that's, I think, where you get a lot of the narrative and some of the stuff that you're going to see on Twitter. And I talked about this on postgame, how this type of game and this type of moment, it invites the conversations that you hate having him on Twitter, right? And social media. And you want to just be able to say, no, we're good right there. It's done with. We don't need to even look at the draft or free agency or whatever the case may be. And that's not going to be the case, that you're going to have to deal with that this offseason because of this performance. That's how this league works. It's high risk, high reward. And when you don't perform in these big moments, that's what people see. And that's what people are going to remember. So when you could put your hat on the accuracy and you don't have that, that's when that leads to a performance like this one that leads to a conversation like that one. I mean, the two misses on the first series, there was a throw behind Mike and Devontae on different dig routes, not setting his feet on that one that I was talking about to Amani Hooker that could have been picked off, where he gets, and this is something that I've noticed has been a bit of a trend on these high balls over the middle, where the feet don't get set. And it's so weird because normally he's so good with the footwork and they do get set and he drives the football because of it. But that little shuffle away from the initial interior pressure, and then the release is quick and good, but the feet have not matched up yet. And so the ball sails on him as he doesn't get the feet set on that play, and it goes over Mike's head, and Amani Hooker has a possible interception opportunity that gets dropped. The ball comes out of his hand on the lost fumble that sets the Titans up with a 7-0 lead at the plus 14 yard line, just trying to throw a quick hitter, a now route, right to Jaylen Waddle coming back to the formation, a little bubble, inside bubble type of screen, a little tunnel screen. Ball just flipped out of his hands. And then a failed exchange later on a third and short play. Just these little things that pop up, those are difficult to overcome. And then when you're not accurate on top of that, very difficult to overcome. And, you know, the other point here about this is, I don't think it's unfair to ask the question about the performance in inclement weather games. Buffalo last season, I mean, I talked about this also on the radio about how there were so many drops in that game and different elements, and the defense could not get a stop to save their lives, and how the three picks might have been a little bit more because of that than it was, you know, the quarterback play being not good for 60 minutes. But in this game, you didn't have those things, and the quarterback play was not good. And yet there was sleet in that first half. I understand that, but it did clear up at times throughout the course of the game. There was some wind gusts here and there, but the ball was just all over the place in this game. Last year at Denver, it was just a cold day. It wasn't snow or rain, but it was cold. And that's what happens in the AFC East. East Rutherford, the Meadowlands, the Foxborough, Buffalo. It's cold weather cities. So it's just something to think about. Wasn't good in this game. We haven't seen it good yet. You really hope that it does get better. And let's go ahead and hear from Brian Flores talking about the impact this game had, or the weather conditions, I should say, had on this football game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was rain, it was slick, but you know, regardless of that, we got to do a good job protecting the football. I mean, that's always our number one priority. We got to do a better job protecting it. It's always a top priority. And look, you know, they had the same elements we were dealing with. So even playing field from that standpoint, we got to do a better job.
And so I kept looking for this portion of the game where Tua would find that little flicker of get heating up and hitting that hot streak that we've seen pretty much every game, even when he hasn't played, like I said, up to the standard we expect of him. And he gets off the goal line with that great 2nd and 10 rip to Devontae Parker down by 14. That's a big time throw that the Dolphins had to get going to get themselves back in that tempo rhythm offense and kind of get things rocking and rolling. Then it's another big gain down the field to Mike Gesicki. Nice little lob pass down the seam to Durham Smythe. Then we take a sack and the drive is basically over from there. Then we come right back and miss a throw to Jalen Waddle on a slant where he's open with a clean pocket, ball over the top of his head in the fourth quarter. But then we're back with a 45-yard rip to Jalen Waddle for a gorgeous corner route. And then it's back-to-back misses after that. So I thought the line play was good. I thought Duke was running the ball pretty well as well. It just wasn't Tua's game. And I wanted to go to this part of the Tua's press conference post-game because I mentioned the last three games I just were not as good as the previous games. So here's what Tua said after the game about how teams maybe played them differently or adjusted over the course of the last three games with the Jets, Saints, and now Titans. Here's Tua, mostly about the Titans right here.
I think they really run what they do well. There's really not much game planned unless it's third down. You know, they'll bring some pressure here and there on normal down and distances, but other than that, they stick to what they do and what they do really well, and they just go out there and execute. You know, we try to stick to what we do and try to execute, but obviously that wasn't the case today.
And then on this first takeaway, let's go ahead and finish up with another point from Tua about what the Dolphins' offensive game plan coming into the game was in the loss.
We wanted to try and push the ball downfield, get into some of the areas that we felt were going to be voided with the play action game. We wanted to try to stay ahead of the sticks, be in manageable third downs, but that wasn't the case with our first three series. We were 3rd and 9, I think 3rd and 10, you know, and maybe another 3rd and 10. You can't go out there and, you know, and not be able to execute on the road against a good team, you know, and expect the outcome to, you know, be good. So it just needs to be better execution from us.
Let's take a short pause and we'll come right back with takeaway number two. Drive Time Podcast, 5 takeaways from the Dolphins' Sunday loss to the Titans 34-3 in week number 17. Takeaway number two on this edition of the Drive Time Podcast is that this game was way too close to the same script we saw earlier in the season, where the strong defense deteriorates as the game goes along and the offense really fails to put together much or mount really any type of scoring drive throughout the course of the game. And that was so often the case early in the season, and we saw it in this one, and it wasn't a fun time to be reminded of that game script. And for the Titans to come out here, and Waddle had, I think it was 3 straight games with 9 catches for 90-plus yards, or 8 catches for 90-plus yards. They pretty much removed him besides one play in the game. I think it was late into the third quarter he had 1 catch for just no yards in the game, which is so, again, just kind of out of character for this Dolphins offense. They've always been able to find ways to get the rookie receiver involved. He finishes the game with 3 catches for 45 yards. I'm going to go ahead and confirm that. 3 catches for 47 yards, so he is now 2 catches shy of tying Anquan Boldin's single-season receptions mark for a rookie receiver. We talked about Tua's missed throws and how that was problematic for the offenses kind of just getting stuck in the mud and not being able to do much. That ineligible man downfield early in the game basically takes Miami out of a 1st and 10 from right around midfield situation with the first 2 plays in the game, like already having good success getting upfield. And they would convert that first down later, but I just thought it was just emblematic of how this game went. Kind of like the Jason Sanders kick off the crossbar that bounces back from 53 yards. You never see him not have enough leg. And on the play before that, a sack coming around the right end there pushes that field goal from, I think it was a 9-yard loss, from 44 yards to 53 yards. And that, of course, goes off the crossbar. Just being loose with it in the pocket, like right after that bomb to Jalen Waddle on the double reverse pass that with the flea flicker type of action, to not be aware of the surrounding areas in that particular play, that's not a good look. And then right after that, Waddle has a drop on the drive after Miami falls down 24-3. So just a lot of these things that got in the way of the Dolphins' success. And that was the idea of two things I said earlier on the podcast is this season that I forgot about it, and I'm glad that I did because it wasn't much fun talking about it, but the Murphy's Law, how everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And then what Coach Flores had mentioned and we kind of talked about in the podcast as a result was how guys would take turns making mistakes, it seemed at times, for this Dolphins team. So here's head coach Brian Flores on the team's failure to execute.
I mean, I think it always comes back to fundamentals and technique and tackling, breaking tackles, blocking guys, defeating blocks, and we can come up with all the. You have a plan, but at the end of the day, that's really what football boils down to. So you got to take care of those fundamentals. And, we had some communication issues as well. So, against a good team, you got to take care of all those little things or else they take advantage.
Seth kept making this point on the postgame show on 560 WQAM about how he didn't feel like this game was like the game against Tampa Bay earlier or the game back in week two against Buffalo, how it was just a three-phase smackdown. And he's really right. I mean, the Titans had one more first down than Miami, 17-16. That number, it kind of blows me away. They had just 52 more yards. It was just the mistakes and the offensive really ineptitude throughout the course of the game. Just 3-for-11 on third down. They were 7-for-15 on third down. So that's where one of your big differences comes into play. But yeah, just not good enough for the Dolphins. You heard Coach Flores talk about the execution, not good enough. Fundamentals, not good enough in this game. The third takeaway is that the run defense is not the one we were used to going into this game. Deontay Foreman has 14 carries for 70 yards in that first half. We talked about him having the lowest average coming in of the Titans running backs, but he rips off a big day. They then hit the 30-yard wildcat on a really game-clinching type of play in the fourth quarter where you're down by 14, third and inches right around midfield. They get that, not just the conversion, but they run it into field goal range and eventually go in for the touchdown. And then that helped to set up the play-action passing game. We talked about that as one of the keys. Titans averaging 2.5 yards better per pass when they go play-action. And we talked about how you can create that without having to run the football, but we saw that early in the game that they tried to get to those looks, but you would see Jerome Baker kind of falling into the hook zone and interrupting a possible passing lane, or Xavien Howard getting his hand around for a pass breakup. And so they were able to impact those play action passes early because they were doing a good job on early downs of stopping the run. But once that got away, it made kind of everything go away because then Tannehill could get those naked boots and get involved in the running game. Those little play action looks where he gets a tight end leaked in behind the coverage for a wide open walk-in room service touchdown pass. So a lot of that came off of the running game. And it seemed like even when things would get stacked up at the line of scrimmage, I talked about how Christian Wilkins was a bright spot in this game on Twitter because he continues to just, they had to hold him a couple times. He gets into the backfield, makes a couple of plays at line of scrimmage a couple times. Like every game, he's just a lot to deal with. And even with a performance of that nature and other guys making plays over the course of the game, it just seemed like they would stack things up and then find a way to push the pile an extra 3 or 4 yards, and going from that 2nd and 9 to 2nd and 6 to me seemed like a big deal in this game. Now they got Taylor Lewan and Roger Saffold back. So, I mean, that's, this is no slouch on the other side of the line of scrimmage. I mean, that offensive line had gone through its tribulations this season, but they get those two guys back makes a big difference. And I thought that little key detail was a big reason for it. They finished the game 40 rushes for a 198. And you can say that got inflated late, but I thought that was indicative of how the game went throughout the course of all 60 minutes. And again, they built the rushing game off that passing game for Tannehill to just go 13 for 18 for a 120 and 2 touchdowns. Takeaway number 4, I kept referencing this earlier on how all of the losses for the most part this year have come at the expense of uncharacteristic mistakes. And this is just kind of an additional takeaway here, but we talked about it already. The things you haven't seen from this team, like we talked about with some of the inaccurate throws and the mistakes that have just kind of been the same script this season. But even then, like we've come to, we talk about standards. Like Javon Holland took a couple of bad angles in this game that I thought sprung big running plays, which you just haven't seen that much this year. Xavien Howard gets flagged for a defensive pass interference. We're pretty clear that he didn't interfere with that pass route on 1st and 20 to get them behind a bad chain situations. Devontae Parker, the most relaxed human being on the team, loses his cool, and I can't blame him for that. But it's just one of those games where all these things are kind of mounting and snowballing, and that's how you wind up losing by 31 points. And the last one here, this is more of a last year thing, but again, for Sanders into the wind, 53 yards off the crossbar, like since when? That's not what I'm used to seeing from him. And that's where you start to just kind of like, okay, well now what? Because when you see things occur that you're not familiar with in this sport, with this team, with this game, then that's where you're kind of like, all right, well back to the drawing board, I guess. I don't really know. That's the the beauty and the difficulty of the NFL is how emotionally charged it is and how every game has so much riding on it and every single performance feels like the most important thing in the world. And that's the beauty of this game, but also that's why it hurts so much when you don't get the results you want. And I think that a lot of these things might have a lot of you like me tonight, kind of with our head in our palms, asking ourselves, what the heck happened out there? Can we run that back? Can we try that again? Maybe, I don't know. It hurts, man. It sucks. Takeaway number five, quick, a short break. Takeaway number five on this Sunday recap edition of the Dolphins and Titans Week 17 game of the Drive Time podcast is that playoff contention, the season as we know it, has come to an end. With that loss, the Dolphins have been eliminated from the 2021 postseason contention. They can still clinch back-to-back winning seasons with a win next week against the Patriots. That would be the first time since 2002-2003 seasons. That was the last 2 years of the first stint of Ricky Williams, a small consolation on what I know a lot of you were hoping to get from this season. So I asked this question to the guys in the postgame show. What has this season meant? What have you learned? What do we need next year? And what this season has meant was, or to me, was to teach you, and this is every single year, but this year definitely, to teach you to not react too positively and too negatively to a single football game. We've seen what kind of streaks and runs and the way teams can play for periods of time. We've seen that. So I hope we all learn from that. And that to me also is what it's meant to me is a lesson in perseverance, which is awesome to have. And what do we need next year? Well, we have one more game to go. I'm not going to get into specifics just yet because I have a month to get ready for the Senior Bowl, another month to get ready for free agency after that, then 2 more months of more draft prep after that as well. But these are some things that I would just put as general things that we need to have a better idea of at this time next year. Number one, what's the offense's identity? What do you want to be? It just seemed like too many times this year, whether it's a drive or a series or a game or whatever, would be going one way, then something would flip and we couldn't get back to that successful part of whatever was working. And it was pretty clear that when Waddle wasn't going, this offense was having a real tough time moving the football. So finding more options offensively to be able to successfully move the football with more regularity, because that was a problem all season long. Number two, don't rest on the defensive laurels, because the safety room in 2020 was good, but it doesn't stop you from going out and getting a Javon Holland to make it really good. I always like strengthening strengths. That's a big thing for me. Number three is just the big games, and this kind of goes back to more today. Just too many times, I mean, how many times have we since, I don't know, the early 2000s? I mean, the 2016 game in Buffalo, the 2008 game in the Meadowlands, were two big wins, but tell me any other big, tough, and this isn't necessary, but I'll throw it in there, tough road games where this team has gone in there, maybe against some of the odds, against some of the expectations, and won when they had a chance to make people step back and say, okay, all right, Dolphins, we see you. Buffalo last year, that's 30-point loss last year, 31-point loss this year. Minnesota 2018, that game was a thrashing. Remember the Dalvin Cook game there after the Miracle game? 2014, there was a loss to the Ravens where it was close at halftime, but Baltimore pulled away late, and then Miami got throttled by the Patriots the week after that, and then basically had to play the string out. 2013, Buffalo, after beating the Jets, the Steelers, and the Patriots in 3 consecutive games, you get the Buffalo shutout, and then the breaks you need to give yourself a one-game play-in against the Jets at home, but that didn't go our way either. So just too many times these days where you feel very anxious in a good way going in. That's what we want. You want these pregame jitters and anxieties as a Dolphins fan, but too often they've ended just like this one. I want to see that change. That's my hope for a new year. All right, we have one more week of regular season coverage coming y'all's way, but the podcast doesn't go away in the off season. We'll be right back getting to work, ready for the Senior Bowl, free agency, the draft, schedule release, OTAs, all the way up to training camp. And the second the season starts after next week, we'll cover the Patriots week all week long and then turn this page over to the offseason as the season officially for postseason contention is over. We'll cover all of that on Drive Time. That's going to be my time. Stay tuned for a post-game segment from myself, Seth, and OJ on 560 WQAM after the Dolphins loss in Nashville. You all, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating. Leave us a review. You can follow me on Twitter at Wingfield NFL. You can follow the team at Miami Dolphins. Check out the Fish Tank podcast. They have a best of year in review episode coming up this week. You won't want to miss that. Check out the YouTube channel for all of our media availabilities as well as Dolphins Today. Until next time, fins up, Caroline. Daddy's coming home. And just a quick heads up, this was recorded before we knew the Dolphins were eliminated from playoff contention, so keep that in mind. Here is the post-game segment from the 560 WQAM show between me, OJ McDuffie, Seth Levitt, the first segment from Dolphins and Titans recapping right after the game went final. What is up, Dolph fans, and welcome to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network. The Miami Dolphins Podcast Network is all here. OJ McDuffie and Seth Levitt from the Fish Tank. I am Travis Wingfield, the host of the Drive Time Podcast. And Juice, we start with you every single week, 17 weeks now in the books, one more in the biggest season ever here in the National Football League. We came in here very fired up today, the three of us, ready for a squad to prove themselves against a narrative that was building against them, and they didn't do it, Juice.
Yeah, once again, man, you know, we get to this point in the year. We've seen it a few times where we've got an opportunity. You know, the whole narrative this week was, you know, Dolphins pretty much control their own destiny and go on the road, you know, and in my opinion, a winnable opportunity and, you know, lay an egg again. You know, it's a tough deal. We started off so bad in this game, especially offensively, that it became, you know, not so much fun to watch. Missed opportunities is what we can really pretty much say about this whole post-game show. You know, missed opportunity to go in there and get a win. We had missed opportunities on the football field to make some plays, missed opportunities to recover some fumbles, missed opportunities throughout the whole game. And then at the end, missed opportunities to make some tackles. So, you know, another missed opportunity, you know, to continue controlling our own destiny, Travis. It's painful, bro. I get the frustration by a lot of people. You know, you can read all the social media stuff you want to do, man. But personally, for me, man, you get so excited about stuff. You know, yesterday I was at, you know, watching Penn State game. I didn't even care about that. All I cared about was what the Dolphins were going to do today.
That's, you know, a big deal, people. Yeah. Like, that's yeah. No small
that
thing.
It meant
right
nothing
there.
Yesterday, you know. I mean, but this game right here was so big and so much was, you know, on the line for our team. And it's not over yet. You heard Jimmy talking about it late in the broadcast. It's not over yet mathematically. But, man, when you got a chance to control your own destiny, Big Seth, you know what I mean? And you got a chance to go out there, you know, and continue this run that we're on, you know, against a team that, you know, minus Derrick Henry, minus another one of Julio Jones on offense, you know, the defense is good. But, you know, but for us to go out there and not be able to, you know, to take out a couple running backs, you know, a couple tight ends that made plays. You know, they want to talk about, you know, the Ryan Tannehill game. Ryan Tannehill had a solid game. He does what Ryan does, you know, when you got a good running game with it. But our opportunities that we didn't take advantage of is what messed up everything for us today.
Seth, Juice mentioned the disappointment of, you know, I was just looking the score up of last season's Week 17 game. That was the finale. Now we have 18 weeks here, but 34-3 in one of these games that Dolphins fans kind of circle is like, all right, this is the time for the same old Dolphins mantra to go away, for the Dolphins to prove themselves in a big spotlight game. Last year in that same situation, it was 56-26 against a Bills team that didn't really play the majority of their starters the entire game. And now 34-3, is disappointment what you feel today? Because you were telling us kind of a different story back in the other room.
Well, I'm definitely disappointed
about the game for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I had a little bit of a different feel for the game itself. But, you know, you heard Jimmy say it. Juice talked about Jimmy at the end of the broadcast there, and he said highly disappointing. Mm-hmm. And it is. Mm-hmm. And I think what's most disappointing to me is that they just, as you said, Juice, they didn't seize any opportunities. And, you know, the Bills game, I felt they were completely outclassed last year. I think that, you know, it was a fun run last year. You saw a team that took a step forward, but ultimately they were outclassed. I don't feel that Tennessee is, well, I mean, they were today, 31 points better, but I didn't feel that's what we saw today. And I think that it to me, it was so much of it was self-inflicted. It was those unforced errors. It wasn't that Tennessee came out with some game plan that we just couldn't figure out, and they just dominated the Dolphins all day. Again, they did. The score tells you that they did. But if you dig deeper into it, you can't throw a ball without the ball in your hand.
Right.
Fumbling snaps, missing guys, open players, throwing the ball over their head. And I know a lot of that's pointing to the quarterback. And honestly,
and a lot of it should point to the
quarterback. It really should. And I am a fan of Tua Tagovailoa. I am not saying, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of people jumping on the pile now. This is a great opportunity. If you don't like Tua, this was a great game to go jump on the pile here. But this is a guy who has been the most accurate quarterback in the league this year, and we didn't see any of that today. Jalen Waddle was missing in action for so much of this game, and it didn't, again, Travis, you'll go watch the All-22, but it didn't seem, you didn't see a bunch of replays where they had three defensive backs just bracketing him and there was nowhere to throw the ball to him. They just weren't finding ways to get him the ball. When guys were open, they were missing him. And then there were two big plays, not the fault of the Miami Dolphins. And I don't like to blame officiating, but there was a pass interference call on a 3rd and 7 that went against the Dolphins.
Textbook pass interference.
And there was the pass interference on the 4th down play, just egregious, where Devontae Parker gets hit early and then his arm hooked and he's trying to catch the ball with one hand and they don't call that. And those were huge, potentially 14-point swing there. Now, you look back and say, well, it was a 31-point game, but it wasn't. When there was 3rd and 7 and that pass interference was called against Nick Needham when he's getting pulled to the ground by his jersey,
right,
they go on to score a touchdown there. It was a 1-score game prior to that drive. They're punting there if that call isn't made. So, I mean, there were some key plays that didn't go the Dolphins' way, and when they had opportunities, they just missed them, and that's a tough pill to swallow.
You also omitted the shades of, I want to say, 2009 against the Pittsburgh Steelers when Ben Roethlisberger fumbles the ball going into the end zone. Dolphins recover it, show the ref the football, and they still award the ball back to the Steelers. The same thing happened in this game today.
The opening the drive of the second half.
Come out of the pile with the football, and they don't give them the ball, even though I think it was Emmanuel Ogbah came out of there with the ball. But, Seth, you kind of mentioned the flow of that game and not feeling like there was any point where the Titans were just vastly superior, maybe until the very end there. But that's kind of my theme here, is that it followed the same script we became all too familiar with early in the season, where the defense starts strong and then just slowly deteriorates as the game goes along. And then to go back to an old Florism is they took turns making mistakes. And it started right away. And that was a key to this game, Juice. You couldn't go into this game and hold and set up 1st and 20. You couldn't go negate a 20-yard rip by Myles Gaskin on a screen pass with an ineligible man downfield. You couldn't allow a 3rd and 9 sack to make a 45-yard field goal, now a 54-yard field goal. They took turns making mistakes in this game. And then just to kind of finish that point, just before I throw it back to you, to me, what this game does, guys, is it opens up all those narratives that Dolphins fans don't want to hear about. They're not ready for the big game. They're not a true contender. They might have to have another solution at the quarterback position, the things that make the offseason not nearly as enjoyable as it is when you do have all those things.
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of things. We've had these questions a lot. I mean, we've tried to answer these questions a lot as fans, as analysts, as whatever we are. We've tried to answer a lot of these questions, and there are going to be a lot more questions. I mean, obviously, you know, the situation is nothing that you'd hope for. But finally, you know, you think about it, man. Look, the offense has been living off of defense for
eight weeks.
You know, and it finally came to roots where the offense needed to come out there and get something done. Couldn't get anything done. They had plenty of opportunities, like Seth talked about, missed guys, missed opportunities. So, I mean, this is 1,000%. The defense didn't play the same defense that we're used to seeing. Couldn't stop the run when we need them to do that. But at the same time, though, they've been holding it down the whole time. This is clearly, in my opinion, on offense and teams. Late in the game, yeah, we got blown out late in the fourth quarter, 17 points in the fourth, you know, running the ball. You got run blitzes. You're selling out against the run, and they cracked some big runs against us on the Wildcat. Also late, the last touchdown at the end. All right, I'll give them that. But early in the game, plenty of opportunities for the offense to go out there and make some noise. Plenty of guys running wide open, bad throws. You just talked about you're throwing a ball with an empty hand. You know, not the duck rule empty hand, but empty hand in general, because, you know, you can't squeeze it in bad weather. Then we come with some plays on offense, some double reverses, Mike Gesicki. I mean, there was some craziness with this offense, trying to jumpstart something. But at the same time, though, man, the offense has been so bad. And when you don't have Waddle involved, like we talked about, we didn't get Waddle involved until late, then we know we're in trouble, because Waddle is our guy on offense. We've seen it. We tried it. We know that's where we go. So I'm just saying, man, it was like, more than anything, you know, offense and teams, punting was terrible, missed field goal. I know it was long after the sack, things like that. Those things kill you as well, man.
It was a 53-yard field goal.
But it should have been It should have been made. Well, I say that all the time.
You don't have the sack. I mean, I know it's obviously not August. It's not August in South Florida, but at training camp, this guy is consistently putting the ball midway through the uprights from 55, 60.
We
got
to figure out a way to play in inclement weather, December and January, bro. I mean, every other team has to play in it, too. They played in it, you know.
Yeah, here's the reality, guys. And Juice, you talk all the time about it's a tough way to make a living to have 14, 15, 18 play drives. There's too many opportunities to make a mistake. You can't lose seven in a row, you know, and then sit here and say, oh, well, the Dolphins, it's the same old Dolphins, or maybe they're pretenders. Well, wait a minute. They lost seven in a row. Let's not forget that. Yeah. And so no team in the history of the NFL had prior to this year, had lost seven in a row and then won seven in a row. Well, clearly that means no one won eight in a row after losing seven in a row. And so you have to be perfect at that point. And it's been a fun run, and I've loved it. And they still have an opportunity to finish above 500, which doesn't change anything we said after the last game. I think it speaks a lot to the guys in that locker room. I think it speaks a lot to the coaching staff, starting with Coach Flores, to keep things together. But today you wanted more. You wanted them to at least show up. If it was just a slugfest all game and they came out on the wrong side of it, maybe, you know, you would be disappointed, but you just wouldn't feel like, you know, someone pulled the rug out from underneath you. And that's what happened today.
That's, again, too familiar of a feeling, you know, as far as covering this team or following this team for the last couple of decades now, because they get to this point and it seems like the rug does get pulled out a lot. I think, to your point, Seth, something else Dolphins fans maybe wanted to see was the team's quarterback, the team's young, former number 5 overall quarterback, take them up and down the field and keep them in that knockout type of game. That didn't happen. We'll talk about that and the weather. And to Juice's point earlier, I believe it's the Raiders do win their game, and I believe it's the Chargers or Steelers. If either of those two teams win, I believe the Dolphins season will come to an end after the 17th week of the season. But they can also, like Seth said, clinch a winning season with a win over the Patriots next game, and that would be the first back-to-back occurrences of winning seasons since 2002 and 2003. We'll talk about Tua, the weather. We'll talk about the run defense. We'll hear from Brian Flores and Tua Tagovailoa, all that coming up. Again, the final score from Nashville, 34-3. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Post Game Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.